Blog Talk Radio.
Hey, ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Right from the Left Coast. My name is Linda. I'm your host for this hour. It is beautiful here in sunny Oceanside. It's like perfect. I think it's 79 degrees, gorgeous weather, sky, blue, beautiful breeze. Everything's marvy. I did want to play taps for today's commemorating day of 9/11, the original, of course, 2001. And those people in those buildings were just innocent people and children. So it's heinous. More of the, what they call, Alex Jones calls democide, death by government. It's pretty disgusting. Welcome, everybody. Bill's here. Ron's here. There's a guest, not sure. There's Lonnie. We'll hopefully get more people. I put out many blasts, but we never know. So Bill had trouble getting sound, I betcha. That happens to me all the time. Anyway, this is the anniversary of the 9/11. We also have like a gazillion bikers pouring through the streets of D.C., and some of the police there are helping them. It's like super neat. I'm so excited. So what I'd like to do, just kind of going over some of the news of the of just what's happening, not so much with Syria, but this particular group of things came to us a couple days ago, and it said, important story silenced by the Syria war drums. Of course, I did not listen to the speech. Somebody asked me in Facebook chat what we thought of the speech, and I said, I can't watch. I can't listen to this guy. Just can't. You know, so I would hear his lies and his rhetoric and his garbage through the pundits and the little clips on the internet. So it's theater. I can't. The guy is just, he's an empty suit, and that's the end of that. But one of the things that people are still trying, in fact, they are working on it. I know ISIS, even though he's in the background and no one's talking about it right now, he's trying to find out what's going on with Benghazi and the NSA and the IRS, et cetera. Hey, Mike, welcome to the show. So this was NSA spying on the world, which would be the first one. These are short paragraphs, so bear with me because I have some really fun things going on in a minute. The biggest story in the world prior to Syria's chemical weapons attack, a story that the administration moaned they could not get out in front of, are the relentless leaks exposing how the United States is spying on the world. In addition to American citizens being targeted with warrantless spying, it has been revealed that the NSA is also spying on the European Union, the United Nations. Yeah, well, they need to be spied on. G20, Russia, Germany, Brazil, oh, sounds like the BRICS nations, and the Olympics, just to name a few documented targets of illegal spying by the United States. The recent development since the Syria conflict blacked out any serious coverage has been the release of the black budget for spying of $52 billion, and more countries like France announced yesterday, and Latin American presidents being added to the growing list of NSA's victims. Finally, the vast use of illegal wiretaps by the Department of DEA, that's the Drug Enforcement Agency, I guess, is also coming to light. Don't forget that whistleblower Edward Snowden, that he revealed things to the world. Well, we don't know who Edward Snowden is. We can't believe anything that's going on. Number two, Fukushima radiation leaks. This has been on Facebook like forever, probably in the last few weeks. So Mike was asking Ron a question. I think I know the answer. But anyway, it says, over the weekend, Tokyo Electric Power admitted that a spike in radiation levels spewing out of their Fukushima reactor is 18 times higher than previously reported. The radiation measured 1,800 milliserverts an hour, high enough to kill someone just for four hours of exposure. The truth about just how much radiation the Fukushima meltdown is causing is just now being revealed to the public. The situation has finally been upgraded to a serious incident. Okay, I'm going to bring in. Hey, Ron, you're on the air. Hold up.
Oh, no worries. I'm just calling because the stupid player isn't working.
Oh,
right.
The player.
So go ahead.
Okay. I'm just going to get through these because I wanted to touch on what my friend Mary did also in the local Republican report that comes out all the time. She's like one of the gals who is a charter member, as am I, of the Americans Protecting Property Rights, because Barbara Decker had kind of gotten me interested through these meetings with the Republican women's groups. And so this was like 3 or 4 years ago, and I said, count me in. I need to start fighting this. And so this is all about Agenda 21 and all these things. So what Mary Baker is doing is just phenomenal. She can talk to these. They could be vile. They could be ignoramuses. They could be progressives. And she just keeps an even tone. It's just, I love it. I mean, I need to, like, take lessons from her. So, anyway, that's a really good story I want to get to. But they were talking about these things, and I don't know if it's true, but they're saying all the fish on the West Coast and everywhere else, you can't eat it because of the Fukushima. So that's what has been suspected of leaking toxic water into the Pacific Ocean. So that was another story. And everything's getting buried because of Syria. I mean, can you believe that these stupid idiots on Fox and CNN cannot walk and chew gum at the same time? My God, can you put down the narrative for 1 minute? Oh, God, they drive me crazy. I can't watch TV anymore. I can't. Except for, I did see the So You Think You Can Dance. These young kids are marvelous, so I like to watch them. They give me hope. And then we have... this was a short one. I kept looking this up. Bill was saying there's something that he tried to repost, and Facebook blocked him from copying it on the guns, Obama's executive action on guns. And I think it was called UNODO, which is not UNIDO, but UNODO. And I'm not even sure what that one stands for, but all these nefarious people are, trying to take our guns away with all these actions and treaties. Anyway, it says the White House announced last week that Obama has taken two more executive actions on guns without congressional approval that appear to infringe on the Second Amendment. If you own a gun that Obama vaguely defines as one of the most dangerous weapons, such as machine guns, well, we don't have those, I don't, and short-barreled shotguns, mine's the normal length because they probably wouldn't sell them out of a place in California if they weren't. You are now hereby ordered to come forward, register it, and submit to a background check in order to lawfully possess it. It's very funny. We have the Second Amendment. Otherwise, you'll be deemed to be engaging in criminal behavior. Lottie, lottie, lottie. He also banned guns from being owned by corporate entities or legal trusts. Whatever side of the gun control debate you fall on, no one should advocate executive actions that override the Constitution. I don't even think they should be allowed to get in front of a microphone that talks about undermining the Constitution. But that's just me. Okay. Then the debt ceiling. Reuters points out today that Syrian conflict will distract Congress from dealing with the fast approaching debt ceiling or fiscal cliff. Oh, monetary ledge, I'm sorry. That keeps getting steeper as lawmakers continue to put off dealing with budgetary concerns. A vote in Congress over whether to launch U.S. attacks against Syria is expected to wreak collateral damage, leaving too little time on Capitol Hill to deal with fast approaching fall deadlines to fund government agencies and raise the debt limit. Isn't that special? Congress has not passed a budget in over 3 years and repeatedly fails to control the purse strings, though it is one of their primary duties under the Constitution. Gee, there's something about that little pesky Constitution, and I guess it's been pesky for these guys since the end of the Civil War. What do you say? Oy. And then they got FEMA going out. It says FEMA has been frantically preparing for a large-scale disaster. You mean like a revolution, FEMA? Yes, that's their supposed role, but the uptick in recent activity cannot be ignored, especially in light of the string of warnings bubbling beneath the surface, like all those roars of the engines of the bikers today. There's been a sudden surge in solar flare and EMP warnings, as well as cyber threats, that have the potential to take down the electric grid in America and around the world. Outgoing DHS Secretary Janet Napolitano issued grave warnings to her successor that they should expect to deal with a massive cyber attack and or natural disaster of unprecedented size and scope. Many alternative researchers believe these warnings and preparations are related to the approaching comet ISON. Regardless of the trigger, there's enough evidence to suggest that some kind of disaster is approaching, yeah, like the collapse of the dollar. We should start paying attention to these warnings and prepare accordingly. Okay, then it says, the last one is feds effectively legalize marijuana and gay marriage. Not all recent developments hidden by the Syria narrative have been negative. The Department of Justice recently announced that they will not be prosecuting the war on weeds in states that have legalized its use for medical or recreational purposes. Although the DOJ clearly stated that marijuana will remain illegal at the federal level, this policy shift effectively leaves pot up to the states. Oh, that's a good slogan. Let's leave pot up to the states. Around the same time, the IRS announced that it will recognize same-sex unions for tax purposes. Oh, of course, regardless of state laws. Oh, gee, who saw that coming? In times of peace, there would be huge stories, and they are indeed important events. It is not every day some liberty is. Oh, it is. It's not every day some liberty is yielded back to the people from a power-hungry government. Remember to take your eye off the bouncing ball once in a while. Look around at what else is happening, which would be that little piece on Syria. So what do you have to say on what I just read on these clowns in D.C.? Ron, were you...
They're clowns.
Now we know. I mean, you know, nobody... There's not one ounce of or shred of credibility left in for support for Kerry or Boehner or Biden or Zero or any of them.
Well, and what a tragedy, because now, you know, these guys are going to move on, and I'm sure that Kerry will probably just, you know, cruise his yacht in the bay.
Another waste of space. Yeah.
While McCain and Graham find themselves working for some consulting lobbyist firm.
Yeah, you mean
millions,
like Center for American Progress?
Right, while they're on, you know... while they're getting their permanent pension and medical benefits. How in the hell these jackasses ever had any credibility to begin with?
To begin with, I know.
Is really just demonstrative of the American people's inability to think critically.
Or even think for themselves. There's got to be... it's something lacking in any public school or private school education where they're not taught to think creatively anymore.
It goes back to the box theory. You know, we've talked about that.
Right.
You learn how to operate within the box, and it's a need-to-know basis. And see, everything in the box, you're taught all about the system and how to work, how to fulfill your role within the box. And anything outside of the box is evil, terroristic even.
Mm-hmm.
That would be me, you know.
Oh, yeah. Yeah,
others.
we're marked, let's face it.
Yeah, anyone that's able to apply critical thinking to any of the situations, well, then they're thinking outside the box. They're not following the conventional wisdom.
Right, and if they were to tag your mailbox, it would be red, believe me. And which I think that's a myth, because unless it's all in the rural areas, because I'm in a city, they're just going to wipe us all out in this area. They don't have to tag the mailboxes. This mobile home park is doomed.
it's all a myth. I mean, the whole damn thing is a big charade.
Well, that's why I think being prepared and not getting too panicky, having to resort to whatever drugs are out there. You know, just be prepared, keep your head cool, and do what we've been doing. You know, that's kind of what I think we need to do. I think we need to delve into our scripture. We need to prop our people up, you know, in spiritual ways and education ways and patriotic ways. However, we need to try to reclaim the republic. I don't think there's much thought of restoring it at this point because it's pretty well quashed. It's been kind of a mess for quite some time. So, but you know, there's a lot of good things happening. Some people are finally getting it. I mean, every single faction out here in California, whether they're on the left, right, or in the middle, they are so against Syria. They're against what they see. They're starting to question the people we mentioned in the higher ups, like Kerry and Ovamit. So they are questioning. Even my friend who voted Democrat her whole life. She's starting to see it.
Is this the same John Kerry who, although he served in Vietnam, was a Vietnam War protester and testified how U.S. soldiers were raping and killing innocent women
sure.
and children in the villages over there? Which,
so you,
in all honesty, yeah. I have no doubt that that occurred because,
right.
you know... The,
war is hell, and it's
well,
stupid.
And war is fought by human beings, and you
That's
know it's just a yeah, it's a slice of our society here in the United States, and obviously, given the level of incarcerated individuals that we have in our country per capita, there's obviously a lot of rapists and pedophiles and other things within our society. So, I mean, you know, it stands to reason. Yes, there are people do terrible things, including war and murder.
Right. Exactly. And Mike said on the chat room, he said he lied. Well, you know, that's quite obvious.
Well,
look, what
lips
I see...
were moving, so...
Yeah, yeah. Well, okay, modern day, you know, a day or two ago, Kerry is in another empty suit, propped up with a teleprompter, told what to say. You know, I mean, these people are, it's so easy to see through them now as to how disingenuous everything they do, think, say, and breathe is. I mean, it's right in your face. That's what I was trying to explain to several people the other day. It's just wide open. There was no masking of anything when Obama got elected or even when he was campaigning in
they're,
08.
They're,
not
they're
one
weather
word.
Vanes. They're weather
yeah.
vanes.
Well, let me tell
Any
you.
Any way the wind blows.
That's true. Well, yeah, Bill Clinton was like that too. I mean, you know, he was also one. They called him the first Teflon president, which I doubt that to be true. But anyway, well,
I was
he,
for it before I was against it. After I was for it.
Yeah, Kerry did that too. I mean,
which is why I'm taking a neutral position until I figure out where I should be.
It, you know what's going on with the pundits and. I mean, look what they did for 2 weeks with the Benghazi lies and the, you know, the anti-Muslim video. Who writes this stuff? I mean, God, do you think Scorsese would be ashamed that anyone hand him
well,
a script
you know,
like
that's,
that?
Well, that's
Holy
what happens.
Christ.
That's what happens when you get caught with your pants down and a lie on your lips. You know, now you have to defend the damned lie. And that's where a lot of this nonsensical bullshit that comes
oh,
out of their mouths
God.
Comes from.
Yeah,
and you have to actually marvel. I personally marvel at the lengths that they are willing to go to and
oh, yeah.
the pure
oh, yeah.
brilliance of the speech writers that can spin complete bullshit
Man.
Into
God.
Something that almost resembles cognitive thought.
I know.
It's frightening. But you got to marvel at the genius of it.
Well, you and the chutzpah, the pure, you know, cojones of these people. Oh, my
oh,
gosh.
Well, you know, there's no lie too big.
Absolutely. Oh, I'm going to get to that in a minute. Let me
especially
do Mary's,
if you believe in it, you know.
Let me do Mary's piece here that she did talking about the, it says, more central planning on the march, which she knows what that means. I know she's read Hayek. HUD, HUD, set to further fair housing, which is what came out. I think it was shortly after the gun control push that the next big thing on Obama's mind was fair housing for everybody. And we're going to integrate the neighborhoods, you know, like they used to do in the 70s with busing. Remember that big fiasco? Well,
oh, yeah.
Here we go.
Oh, I've seen it.
Yeah,
I've
here we go. So this is just another coin, you know, side of the coin for them to do. In 2009, President Obama created the he's got a new partnership. I didn't know about this. It was probably under the radar. It's called PSC, Partnership for Sustainable Communities. Oh, boy, isn't he special. And brought together three federal powerhouses, the evil bureaucrats called the EPA, the Department of Transportation, and HUD, all regulatory agencies that were tasked to coordinate their goals of implementing sustainable development in America, which is Agenda 21. The United Nations prescribed their whole life plan for the 21st century. Absolutely. As financially strapped U.S. cities, this is what happens when you have the government, you know, married to the rest of the private sector, and they shouldn't be, and all these counties search for funds to pay for regulatory mandates, especially in California, they can opt for what's called Partnership for Sustainable Communities Regional Planning Grants. They have regional planning grants. I think I'm going to explode. These grants come with sustainability criteria that necessitate elements like affordable and equitable high-density housing, transit-oriented development, yeah, along the corridors, and mixed-use zoning, all a part of Agenda 21. And this is what happens when you accept money as a county or whatever from the federal, and your state accepts from the federal, there are huge evil strings attached, guys. That's what she's talking about here. And that's why I try to explain to my city council. Do they listen? No. HUD's latest rule and amendment to the 1968 Fair Housing Act, oh boy, seeks to foster the diversity and strength of communities and regions by improving integrated living patterns. Oh my God. Can you believe this Hegelian gobbledygook? To achieve this, HUD is proposing to put cities through an examination that would measure six indexes, poverty, school proficiency, which would probably include Common Core, labor market segment, oh my God, job access, health hazards exposure, and transit. This is exactly what Sandag was doing at that meeting that I blew up at.
Do you know what current city would probably score highest in that? Detroit.
Oh my God.
I mean, think about it.
It's, oh my gosh.
It's perfectly integrated.
It's a ghost town. It's horrible. It says, according to HUD, program participants will submit assessments on a regular schedule and HUD will review them. Oh, sure. Just like, you know, all your information is private with your doctor. Uh-huh. Sure. I got some Nevada beachfront property. Would you like to buy it? In other words, HUD wants to force social and economic integration, exactly what I said before. Presently, regional MPOs like SANDAG, that's our San Diego Association of Governments, and SCAG, which is Sacramento Associated Governments, are, mandated by Sacramento to survey affordable housing stock in the county by city and require that each city set aside adequate zoned lots for this type of housing. This is what's going on in every meeting in every city that I am aware of in Southern California here. If approved, HUD's new rules would move us further towards central planning. In the future, HUD would have the authority to coerce cities to build low-income housing. That's what they're doing here in Oceanside and Carlsbad, in high-income neighborhoods to overcome historic patterns of segregation. Obama considers his vision of a centrally planned Neverland, a lifetime achievement of social, economic, and environmental justice. In other words, we know better attitude. This is just the latest in a series of initiatives by Obama's Partnership for Sustainable Communities to socially engineer our neighborhoods. Ed Pinto of the American Enterprise Institute states, it started with public housing and urban renewal, which failed spectacularly back in the 50s and 60s. They tried it again in the 90s when they wanted to transform house finance and do away with down payments. Remember that mess? And the result was millions of foreclosures and financial collapse.
Well, you know, this sounds vaguely familiar.
Familiar.
Something, you know, this integration, right?
Oh, yeah.
Sounds vaguely familiar to me, like redistribution of property by a collective. What was that? To each according to his needs,
I'm
from each according to his means. Isn't that like the utopian communism that has never existed, by the way, on this planet, communism?
Okay. Okay. This is for whoever is spying on my show, or if BB's around, the one who will not be named. I thought I would do something fun today, just to, and I've done this before, but apparently this was far back into our archives prior to the one who shall not be named coming into our shows. So I went to the dictionary, and I've got a real good one here. It's pretty good. It takes up almost a whole page in handwriting. For socialism, number one, any of various economic and political theories advocating collective or governmental ownership and administration of the means of production and distribution of goods. Number two, a system of society where there is no private property. A system of society in which the means of production are owned and controlled by the state. Number three, a stage of society, you're going to love this, a stage of society in Marxist theory, transitional between capitalism and communism. Where did I hear that? Oh, yes, from my mouth on your show. And
oh, but Linda, you're an uneducated fool, and you don't have any idea what you're talking about.
Oh, and now it is distinguished by unequal distribution of goods and pay according to work done, which the next few sentences will, you're going to hear the same words, because this is the definition of the same dictionary on communism.
Yes.
Number one.
They're one and the same.
A theory advocating elimination of private property. Oh, I just have to go back up a little bit on this page for socialism. There you go. That's another little tenet. A system in which goods are owned in common, which is true because commune means in common,
yes,
and are available to all as needed, according to one's needs, a la Marx, right? Okay, number two, a doctrine based on revolutionary Marxian socialism. Oh, boy, that's a good one. And Marxism.
I thought it was communism, Marxist socialism,
yeah,
you say.
Yeah, it says revolutionary Marxian, A-R-X-I-A-N, socialism, and Marxism-Leninism, which is true because Lenin just loved Marx. That is the official ideology of the old Soviet Union. A totalitarian system of government in which a single authoritarian party controls state-owned means of production, with the professed aim of establishing a stateless society, a final stage of society in Marxist theory in which the state has withered away and economic goods are distributed equitably, which is also known as social equity and social justice. Hello?
Right. Well,
so,
you see...
Oh, I see the guest logged out. I wonder who that was.
See, this is precisely why I said that quite... Honestly and literally, by definition, there has never been a communist state in existence in the world as we know it. Now, there are those states like the former Soviet Union,
right,
and China that claim the communist moniker, but
sure,
they've never risen above the level of socialism.
Well, you
because
know,
the state
wait,
has always been in existence. And
the
there's
reason,
always it's always
right,
devolved or stagnated,
yeah,
into this socialist mentality. It's never achieved the level of communism, communal.
Well, what they right, what Marx's original theory was in, what
right,
what happened with Lenin and Stalin is they just went on steroids with this and took their guns out. I mean,
human nature got in the way is what happened, and
oh,
that's
they just
why
wanted,
that,
you know,
that's
what they wanted, pure hell.
That's the thing that Marx battled with in,
yes,
what Marx hated. If you read his works, he was railing against government in
sure,
any form. But the problem that he ran into time and again, and that's why
mm-hmm,
he kept changing his theory.
Sure.
The problem he ran into was human nature. And human nature, when power is given to a group, they tend to
oh my
create
gosh,
government.
And it doesn't take long and it doesn't take much. You know,
no,
and at whatever level you are, you could be in charge of dog catching and things are going to go awry. If you give
yeah,
the wrong people or anyone who's human, and it goes, if it goes to their heads and they're not keeping, you know, look, we've got a couple of examples of decent people, and I would say Dr. Paul is one of them. He doesn't worry about stuff like that. He knows who he is. The
right.
man is an educated man. He's a doctor, and he loves babies. That's why he went into the profession. You know, so he can keep a cool head. He doesn't abuse power.
Well, it could be
power.
He loves something else, but, I mean, you know,
that's
I digress.
Right. Oh, please. We have to have levity, though. That's good. No, I mean, people like him understand, you know, that if they're not going to abide by what they're actually speaking, they're going to be hypocrites. And I do believe that he's a godly person. I don't think that, you know, that shows his character. Because
well, I think he understands that human beings are inherently evil people.
Of course.
Left to their own devices and unchecked, they will devolve into evil bastards.
Every day.
And I think history has proved that out.
Oh, my gosh. Oh, my gosh. So what I was thinking was when I read that, it was funny because I read the dictionary definition, which was precisely what Karl Marx said it was. He said the goal of socialism is communism.
Yes.
But I think when we look at who actually claimed that as their moniker in their dictatorial means, which would be Stalin, he was not good. He used that word, and I think it was almost a bastardization of it because Marx wasn't going for that, you know, kill him and shoot him in the head and get him off the farms like the kulaks were. He misplaced a little bit of wisdom in that statement. I don't know, because he's dead and I can't ask him. But the rest of these clowns, all they wanted to do was take over Trotsky and Lenin and Stalin.
Well, and that's why I said, when I read through a good bit of what Marx has written, and quite honestly, I find myself agreeing with Marx on a lot of different points. But the frustration, and I think it comes through, it leaps off the page, and especially when you read the backstory, you know, hindsight's always 20/20. So when we read the backstory surrounding Marx and his funding
sure.
and that kind of thing, but you can literally, as you read the progression in his writing, for me at least, it was really blatant to see his frustration.
Yeah.
Because he continued to try and develop this philosophy. And as a philosopher, he was horribly inept. You know, he never rose to the level of a Hegel or any other number of philosophers. You know, certainly not a Plato.
He had some really fatal flaws. I think he was lazy. And I think that he thought he was maybe entitled to whatever. You know, I don't have his...
He was very fond of being part of the bourgeois class without being bourgeois himself.
Right. Yeah,
I got to take this.
Go ahead. I'm going to read from this book because I need you guys to call in too. Anytime you want to get in there, I just put the number up. this is because this was for explaining how evil socialism on the Nazi side and communism on the Soviet Union side back in the day, and this was all happening at the same time, just in different geographical areas by rotten people. And this is about what happened to these poor people called the kulaks in the Ukraine under Stalin. And this paragraph starts, "Fired up by Stalin, a commission led by Molotov produced a far-reaching decree with implementation instructions on January 30th, 1930. First category, kulaks, guilty of counter-revolutionary activities, always have to have a scapegoat, were to be executed out of hand or sent to concentration camps and their families deported to distant parts like Siberia and stripped of all property." Oh, there we go, stripped of all private property. The second category, arch-exploiters, with an innate tendency to destabilize the regime, were to be dispossessed and deported far away with their families. Finally, the third category of kulaks were thought to be loyal to the regime, but in any case had to be moved out of their homes and away from collectivized zones and onto poor land. In keeping with the quota thinking of this era, the commission estimated that on average kulaks owned between 3% and 5% of all farms and had to be eliminated within 6 months. And so it set quotas for how many were to be sent to the concentration camps, exiled, and so on. Everything was laid out, including the disposition of confiscated property, like just like a military campaign. The chief of the secret police, and they called that, there were several secret police organizations under Stalin, but one was called Cheka. Genrich G. Yagoda instructed his paladins to mobilize the Czechist ranks, which would be the Czechist army, which once again have tremendous difficult job ahead of them. We are engaging in a new battle. We must wage it with minimal losses on our side. This requires a sudden, devastating strike, the force of which depends solely on our preparation and organization and discipline. Politburo members such as Kaganovich, Mikoyan, and Molotov went into the countryside, complete with units of the secret police on armed trains. Their scribbled notes back to the Kremlin told of resistance, and with some relish of the need to obliterate it. But it was Stalin himself who urged on the whole process, as he pressed regional and local bosses to keep going. His commissars, embracing the murderous activity, told themselves they embodied party-mindedness, morality, exactingness, attentiveness, good health, knowing their business well, and bull nerves. These self-aggrandized images covered over self-indulgence, ruthlessness, and amorality. There developed an atmosphere akin to the days of the Civil War, so going back. Maxim Gorky, once a voice of conscience, now hailed the cruel campaign against the peasants. He had returned to the Soviet Union in 1928 after a period of exile in the West, and apparently wanted to show how red he was. In leading newspapers and on the radio, he stated the matter with brutal simplicity. We are opposed by everything that is out, that has outlived the time set for it by history, and this gives us the right to consider ourselves again in a state of civil war. Oh, how nice of him. The conclusion naturally follows that if the enemy does not surrender, he must be destroyed. Well, I can kind of tell you what ensued. When this happened in the Ukraine, and it took about probably, I think it was between 2, 3, 4 years, maybe a little longer in this one area, and he had it was the dekulakization under Stalin. That was his name for it. He was taking these poor people and stripping them. He wanted all the farmland for himself under the state, okay? Big statism, you know? Everything for the state, nothing for the individual. And so when they did this, these people that were still on the fringes and they hadn't been deported, the kids included, were going back to these farms that their families owned for generations. And if they got caught stealing food to keep from starving to death, they were shot out of hand and the rest of them starved to death, or they were transported. And that was a mess. I think it was between just 1 and 1.5 years, he offed almost 5 million people in the Ukraine. So this is what communism does. And when you talk about the National Socialist Party, you know, which we described in the dictionary, and the pogroms of Hitler, well, you have ovens, and you have ditches and trenches, and you have live babies, 6 months old, being thrown into burning pits. Oh, that's nice. And you have Dachau, and you have Treblinka, and you have Auschwitz. So there you go. So don't anybody come on here and tell me that, you know, just because something's written down in words in a dictionary that it's hapless. This is evil, especially when the ones like those guys get a hold of it and just take it. And they have totalitarian minds, and they're like Genghis Khan, and they have lots of weapons, and they have lots of ammunition, and they like using it. They get a kick out of it. I think they're sadistic. They're like serial killers. Every time I watch Criminal Minds, they're psychopathic. Just like those people that the BAU hunts down in profiles, I'm telling you. Go ahead, Ron.
Oh, no, you're doing just fine. You know, I still, you know, I don't think Stalin and Lenin ever got past the transitional point. They never transitioned from socialism into full-blown communism.
Well,
all the Politburos and the programs.
Yes,
and
the Cheka. Oh, my God.
You give me... Show me the difference between them and Nazi Germany and Hitler. I mean, it was so minuscule. other than the pomp and ceremony behind, you know, Hitler and it's all bullcrap. It's all bullcrap. And show me the difference, honestly, show me the functional difference between that and fascism.
Well, because Mussolini did much the same thing. He was power hungry. He was a dictator, and he was ruthless. Why do you think, I think that things ended badly for him, if I'm not mistaken. There was a lamppost and some piano wire around his neck, and they hanged him.
Yeah,
but
in practice, right. But what I'm saying is in practice.
Right. Means of production.
Practical application, the only real tangible difference between the three thought processes or ideologies, if you will, fascism, socialism, and eventually communism, the single difference is the perception of who owns the means of production.
There you go.
Absolutely. It's more than frickin' semantics at that point.
It is, exactly. And, the semantics and then who's different names and different geographies. And then you have to look at the soul of these people, if there is one. If they possess one. And you understand, like Mao Zedong would be a perfect example of the same ideology that Stalin held. Power comes mostly out of the barrel of a gun. And they all knew it, and they used it to their advantage. They didn't care. They could give a rat's behind about human life. Not one iota, believe me.
Well, no, that's absolutely true. And from everything that I've read and studied in history and going through the history of mankind, you know, the whole ideology behind socialism was really just a catchphrase, buzzword, no different than what Lincoln was trying to catch a hold of, public sentiment. It's an ideology that was unrealized and unexplored by the vast amount of society. And so society sees, it's a change, it's something different. It's got to be better than what we currently have. And so people get swept up into it without fully realizing and understanding or contemplating the outcome of it. And it never works out in practical application.
Right, because...
to be near as good as it sounded on paper.
Because when you look at... all of the reasoning and all of the frustration behind the Declaration of Independence with the framers, because they'd had it. I mean, how many years had it taken? It probably more than one king was there, because when you look at the George Whitefield period, and all he was trying to do was wake people up, they kicked him out of the church, so he goes out on the street corner. Of course, nowadays, these clowns won't let you do that. But he did, and he was preaching like Jesus did. And that's why, that there was a spiritual awakening. There was enough of the populace who had enough and stood behind him and said, yeah, we'll take our muskets up and we'll go barefoot and walk through the snow. We'll do it. You know, I mean, there were so many decent people, and I believe that Martha was out there about 50% of her time sewing stuff for these poor people. 8 years of this mess. And this was one of the huge tipping points in history, was that revolution and that... hey, private property is sacrosanct. Liberty. That was the second one. The first one was the coming of Christ, of course. That was like huge. I mean, you can't get better than that. But that's the next one. Look, and ever since, the evil ones have been trying to tear us down. I'm telling you.
There are moments in history where a figure or several figures rise up to prominence and people begin to pay attention and they give people a sense of self. And, you know, the revolution was one of those times. The Civil War was one of those times when the Southern states walked out and said, you know, to hell with this. We're not going to tolerate it. Martin Luther King. Was
Rose
another
Park.
Such individual. When Martin Luther King rallied in Memphis, it was a garbage strike. The garbage men were on strike, and they were predominantly black. And they were striking to unionize, and while I disagree with the union, in sum total, because to me it's organized extortion. But at the same time, yes, there are situations where those in power take advantage of those not in power. And that was one of those demonstrations. And what King represented to the power structure, to the governmental hierarchy, was he was spreading a message of nonviolence and telling the people, hey, you don't have to keep doing this. You can refuse to consent. You can walk off your job and say, no, we're not going to consent. We're not going to do this. And that part of King's message was the thing that they had to shut him down for. Because he was empowering people with the idea that they didn't have to continue living the stupid life that they were being sold on television and radio and the advertisements. And there was something else out there. And it was okay to rock the boat. And it was okay to stand up and say, hey, I'm a human being. I'm a man. And right. I'm not going to allow you to treat me like a slave. Black or white, it doesn't matter.
Sure. This is an age-old problem. Yeah.
Right. And the fact that the blacks largely felt disenfranchised, as well they should have, because they were still, many of them, being treated like second-class citizens. The sad part of that, to me, in looking back, is that the majority of the whites sided with government because they were so damned indoctrinated already that they couldn't see that they were just as much a serf or a slave on the master's plantation as the black people were. They just saw themselves as having more status than the black guy, so they felt empowered and better than. But they weren't, and they aren't,
right?
And well, they won't be.
The whole thing, when you look at all everything, especially if through the lens of history or the Bible through whatever lens you're looking at it, that Bible is the blueprint. That is where these guys for the Declaration came up with all of it. My Lord, those guys were. At their mother's knee before they were weaned, I'm telling you, they were hearing these words from Scripture.
That was school. That was education. Most of the education at that time came from the Scripture.
From their moms.
And then, when they were 14 years old, they went off to university.
Exactly. Or some people, in a couple of years, became surveyors, and made money that way, and others went off to university. Of course, like Jefferson, I think they had money, but, they had my God, I don't think that any one of us, even at their ninth grade level, could pass their test that they had to take. I'll bet you.
Not even close.
Oh my gosh.
I'm bringing this caller.
214, because they dropped. I couldn't get them back. Who do we have?
Hey, Linda, it's me.
Hey, Hollywood, it's Mikey's. Nice to hear from you. We got 11 minutes left and we're just partying. What do you want to say, sir?
Oh, I was just calling to say hello. Sorry, that wasn't me to drop the call. I dropped the phone and it blew up on the street here. I just put it back together. I hear Ron. How are you, Ron, sir?
I'm doing well, Mr. Hollywood.
I was just checking in because I didn't know whether any news had broken, and I wanted to say on this particular day that we have two things to not celebrate. One is, of course, the thing that happened in New York, and I had the misfortune of being there when it happened, right on the street.
Wow.
And also the Benghazi attack, which we still haven't gotten any answers from the dog-eating president about, still refusing to talk about it. And it all adds up to the same crap that we've been talking about for the last 6 months. I just find it hilarious that we have to mark these days with these ridiculous, these markers of just complete shame. It's just, it makes me sick. When I see reports on the news and when I see film of that day, I get physically sick.
It's democide. It's death by government.
Yeah.
Absolutely. And I know our friend Mike's going to do it. Go ahead.
I just feel like I'm watching fascism just creep all over us when I see that. It bothers the hell out of me.
It's not fun. Well, you have Pravda on the march all the time, but I was very happy to see the bikers go in. I was very happy to see the amount of them, and the police were helping them. That was cool. And I know I want to give a shout-out to Mike. He's hot seat. He's in the chat room, and he's going to be doing a show Saturday, and I know it's going to be a humdinger because it's going to be all about 9/11 and 9/11 truthing. So we're going to tune into that one, and that would be, I think, 10 p.m. Eastern for 2 hours. Worth it, guys. We'll promote it all week long. Yeah. So, and I know that you guys are kind of working close together because Mike did disclose that he's going to be at the Lone Star State pretty soon, and I'm real happy. I think that's great.
Yeah, I finally convinced him to get out of that tax hellhole.
Well, you know, I'm just hanging in with Mom because when the time comes and I sell this place, I know where I'm going. And Mr. Bill is... like my buddy, he's scouting for properties left and right. He's got it going on.
Say, Linda, when you leave the formerly great state of California, remember to take our flag with you because that's the last flag that'll be there.
Oh, you mean the United States one or the bear flag?
Yeah, just grab Old Glory and take it with you because that may be the last one that ever flies out there.
Well, there's several in the park. These guys are old ex-military retired vets. They've got a lot of flags in my park. Decent people. We have a lot of decent people here in California. It's just we get shouted down just like the straight people get shouted down and the Christians get shouted down and the people on the right get shouted down by the libturds. I mean, you know, it goes on every day. You just got to know what it is. You know what I'm saying?
I'm just trying to keep the people that are exiting California and they're exiting in droves, but I hope that they change their political philosophy because a lot of them are coming here to Texas, and I don't know if they're trying to turn this state purple to blue, but that's not going to happen, but I just hope that they get wise when they get here because I'm really trying to avoid an influx of bad voters and, you know, non-intelligent voters.
You know what you got to do since you're there and you can get around. I don't know if you have people that have kids in school. You got to tell them no C-Scope and no Common Core, and we're not doing it. And this
exactly.
great state of Texas is going to secede from this union if you keep doing it. You know that's where we're at.
We are the resistance. We are the
thanks
resistance.
Thanks for calling in, Ron. I guess he had to go. Anyway, I'm so glad you're here. This is great. I've got a couple minutes left. Love to hear your voice, and I wish Mikey would call in for a minute. Yeah, absolutely. He'll have to check that in Patriot Families. Go ahead.
I'll be ready to go on Saturday. Last time Mikey did a 9/11 show, he had two guys on, and I think it was last year. I could be wrong. And I'm pretty sure you were on the air too. And one of the guys was this just apologetic. I mean, he had nice points. He expressed himself right, but I was pulling my hair out on the other line, and I think the angry Jew was really chopping him down on a lot of things, which was fun. I wonder if we'll get that same guy this year because he kept quoting that Popular Mechanics article. The Popular Mechanics article is a fraud. It's just that was just put out there as a straw dog to get it to look the other way. And if I remember correctly, the person that wrote the article or the publisher of that magazine had a connection to former Skeletor, the guy that used to be the Homeland Security, the guy that looked like a skeleton. I can't remember his name at the time, but he was also linked to the X-ray machines that he had interest in.
Oh my gosh!
That always made me laugh. Yeah. His name escapes me at the moment, but I'll remember it. But I'll be loaded for bear on Saturday night, ready to go.
That's going to be wild. Yeah, so we've got that show coming up. And, of course, tomorrow, Terry Rowland's show is always at 6 p.m. Eastern because that's good for her because she teaches. And I got Mikey. Let's bring him in.
Hey.
Oh, you're in. Okay, hi.
Yep. Hey, how you doing? Yeah, last year I had the one angry Jew destroy the self-professed Steve Pander ass in a 9/11 debate. Which was really not much of a contest. I also had a caller in from Rethink 9/11 who I tried to rebook, didn't get an answer. So, I had a couple of good people on. So, it's going to be about 9/11 then and now, where we are, where we were.
Sure. Oh, my gosh.
And, you know, it's just, as Alex Jones says, we need to greet 1984 with 1776.
There you are. Absolutely. I agree. You know, I'm not one for tinfoil hats, but I'll tell you, these guys, I've got ones ready to put on close at hand because this is getting crazy.
You know, as I said on Ron's show, if we had, all we had 12 years ago was Alex Jones, and he was seen as the complete lunatic. If we had the alternative media then as we have today, 9/11 would have been blown wide open. Would have been blown wide open, and history might have been different.
A whole bunch different, because then the ugly Patriot Act, the DHS and TSA and the NDAA and the rest of that nonsense may not have happened.
True.
Oh, yeah. In fact, this is, and you and I know it, because I know you were one of the first to say it, and that mission accomplished. They got their stupid Patriot Act. They want to keep going, keep pushing the screws into the side of our rib cage, you know, and twisting until we're just sick. We're sick of it. And finally, you know what? What they've done is they've pissed off a tiger, and not a paper one, but a big one. And that's why those guys are going to D.C. on their bikes. I'm glad. I think there was like, what, 400 people on the mall, the Muslims? That was pathetic.
That's it?
And it was like,
what happened to the million man deal?
Oh, you know what? Now it's just absolutely, it's a hysterical theater. It's like the theater of satire right now. I'm absolutely loving it, and I'm so happy that the bikers are there. It's like they reported over 800,000 of them descending.
Wow.
it was great.
Wow. Really?
Let's see, 800 grand to 400. That's about right.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm like, hey, you know what? People are ready. I'm not kidding. You should see on my Facebook, I've got tons and tons and tons of people saying, come out to this rally. They're doing anti-war Syria. They're doing impeach Obama. It's like, it's wild what's going on. The videos are amazing. People are waking up left and right. I don't care. You don't need labels. People know that they're left, right, and in the middle. They're standing shoulder to shoulder on these overpasses saying, we're done. You know,
and the ones that, you know, just want to stay inside the matrix, they're just willing to be puppets.
Sure.
They're holding their
Obama phones, and they're talking Ebonics. That's it. You know, I know who they are.
It's them, but it's more than that.
Oh, there's more. I know. I shouldn't say that. I'm not trying to be mean, but I mean, let's face it. I don't know. I don't think he would have made it without like 98% of the black population voting at that time.
He had to have that. But then you also have the white liberal that wants to hold on to the BMW at all costs, so that they will conform as long as they get to keep their stuff for as long as they can. But the joke is, what's going to be left for their future generations? Not much.
Oh, I know. And we got a couple minutes left before I play this closing song. Johnny, what's your closing thought? I'll get to you, Mikey.
Like I said before, my closing thought is I'm glad for you know, people like we have on the line here, just your show, just, you know, the openness that you folks are doing it. And even though I don't know how many, you know, voices you reach, but if you reach just one more one day than you reached me before, I feel excited about this because I've never felt a groundswell like this. People are ticked
off.
This
is great.
People are laughing at that monkey in the White House that doesn't know what he's doing. his policy on Syria is completely ridiculous. Just completely
empty
ridiculous.
Suit. I know.
Yeah, he's more than an empty suit. He's an empty dashiki. That's what he is.
So, okay, thank you so much, babe, and God bless you. And, Mikey, what's your final thought?
Well, not that, you know, other like Alex Jones and Mark Levin aren't hearing me, obviously, but it's just amazing how they're all following my train of thought. Now everyone is calling for the libertarian movement. Well, I called for that on BTR over a year ago. I went from station to station. I got chastised and ridiculed, and now they're all singing my song. The big shots and the little shots are singing the independent libertarian song. They're all following my lead, and I'm tooting my horn because I went out to everybody, and even Levin put me down, and he's eating his words.
All right. We got Mike, Johnny, Bill, Doc, and Lonnie. You guys, bless you. See you guys for Terry's show tomorrow. Play a little bit of song, and have a great evening. Love you guys.
Just Saturday.
Yes.
Too many people in America fear their government, and the government is being run by too many powerful agencies like the IRS and others. I think it's time the people take the country back through their representative government.
Bill.